The comedian and presenter Stephen Fry once said, in all seriousness, "How dare God create a world in which there is such misery that is not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world which is so full of injustice and pain?" Fry's angry comments are just one variation on that phrase. How could a God of love fill in the blank with the latest horror in our world? So it might be, how could a God of love create a world in which suicide bombers kill innocent young people enjoying a night of musical entertainment? Or it might be, how could a God of love allow whole families and so many young people to die in the blazing inferno of a tower block? The theologian Martin Luther, whose legacy we are marking, lived in an age when the troubles of our society can seem mild compared with some of the horrors of the early 16th century. Luther's was a day in which many lived in abject poverty and life could be short and savage. A day in which there were vicious civil wars raging across Europe, and a day in which there was widespread corruption and abuse of power within the church. And this last was significant because in Luther's day, the church was one of the main pillars of Western society. In reflecting on the horrors of his day, Martin Luther concluded that we can only understand what a God of love looks like when we look at Jesus in his incarnation as a human being. And supremely, Luther concluded that we can only understand what a God of love looks like when we look at Jesus hanging crucified on the cross. Luther called the cross God's backside. For the cross is not where we expect to meet God. It seems to be the opposite of everything we might reasonably expect of God, at least of any God worthy of being called God. For the cross is a scene of torture, one perfected by the Romans to provide a long, drawn-out death of excruciating pain and public humiliation. How can such an ugly, horrific, and debasing scene show us a God of love? Yet Martin Luther claims the cross alone is our theology, by which I think he means only if we can truly face the cross can we truly understand what a God of love is like. So if we want to understand what God's power looks like, in the cross, we discover that God's power is revealed in weakness. If we want to understand what God's victory looks like, in the cross, we discover that the forces of evil and death are overcome by God in the midst of apparent defeat. And if we want to know what God's blessing looks like, in the cross, we discover that the one who appears to be truly cursed by God is the one who is the source of all true blessing. Luther's theology is thus deeply rooted in the message that the Apostle Paul proclaimed in his letter to the Corinthian church that we've heard read. Paul asserted, "We proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." It was a stumbling block to Jews because their scriptures made clear that anyone who hung on a tree as Jesus hung on the cross is truly cursed by God. And it was foolishness to the Gentiles for all the reasons that we've been considering. But, says Paul, and for Paul and Luther it is a big but, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the crucified Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so Paul goes on, for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And we see that foolishness and that weakness displayed in the cross. Now, one way of thinking about the cross is that it was a ghastly necessity that achieved a wonderful result. Taking such an argument, one can see the cross as an attempt to provide an answer for sin and death, an answer to all the pain, injustice, and misery that Stephen Fry railed against. However, my colleague Sam Wells challenges this idea and suggests that we need to think of the cross in a different way. The cross is more truly a wondrous gift that is all of a piece with the wondrous love that it discloses. I think Martin Luther would agree. The cross isn't about being God's answer. Instead, the cross is first an exposure of the ghastliness of our human sin. The cross doesn't hide from sin and death, and fully faces us with sin and death, and shows them for what they really are. And it reveals how deeply we resist God being with us. But that's not all. Because the cross is also a definitive demonstration of God's perpetual purpose, a unique revelation of God's wondrous love, and an astonishing invitation to be with Christ in paradise. While he was hanging on the cross, one of those hanging next to him asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus spoke to him and assured him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The cross thus shows us how much God wants to be with us, regardless of the cost, with us in all the horrors and challenges of our world. In this way, the cross, as Luther said, is our theology. So when we find ourselves standing before this cross, as Mary, Jesus' mother, stood before her son hanging on the cross, we're faced not with an answer, but with a decision. Are we willing to be part of this story, even if it isn't a rescue story? And as we stand at the foot of the cross, we're asked the question, are we willing to be with God, who's given everything to be with us?